Picture this. You are sitting in the right seat of a Piper M600. You are not a pilot. Maybe you have never flown before in your life. The pilot beside you has gone silent. Not turbulence quiet, not concentrating quiet. The wrong kind of quiet. Slumped. Unresponsive. You're at 12,000 feet in instrument meteorological conditions and you cannot see anything outside the windows except gray cloud. What do you do? If that airplane is the M600 SLS, here is the answer. You find a clearly labeled control on the instrument panel marked Autoland. You press it, and then the airplane figures out the rest. It decides where to land. It finds a runway. It flies the approach. It puts you on the ground. It stops. It shuts the engine down, and you walk away. That is not a concept demonstration. That is not a feature film. That was certified by the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, in November of 2020, making the Piper M600 SLS the first general aviation aircraft in history with a certified autonomous emergency landing system. I am Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we are breaking down exactly how Garmin Autoland works. Not the brochure version. The engineering version. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the problem Garmin was trying to solve because it is a real one. In general aviation, single pilot incapacitation does not happen often, but when it does, the outcome is almost always fatal. There is no co-pilot to take over. There is no automatic fallback. And the cabin occupants, whoever they are not pilots. If the person in the left seat goes down, everyone goes down. The airlines addressed this decades ago through crew redundancy and through Autoland systems designed for low visibility approaches. But those systems are engineered for trained crews who monitor every phase of the automated sequence. They are not engineered for a passenger in a state of acute panic who has never touched an aircraft control in their life. Garmin asked a different question. What if the goal is not to coach the untrained person through flying the airplane, but to remove them from the loop entirely? That is the philosophical core of Autoland. The passenger has one job, press the button. Everything else is the machine. Here is what the system actually does the moment you activate it. And the sequence is worth going through step by step, because each element represents a deliberate engineering decision. The first action is not navigation, it is communication. The moment Autoland activates, the transponder switches to 7700, the International Emergency Transponder Code recognized by every radar facility on the planet. Simultaneously, the avionics begin broadcasting on 121.5 MHz, the guard frequency that air traffic control facilities and military radar sites monitor around the clock. The broadcast is automated. It identifies the aircraft, provides position, and announces that an automated Autoland sequence is underway. Before the system has evaluated a single runway, it has already told the air traffic control network that something is wrong. Help is already moving. Now the decision algorithm starts, and this is where the engineering gets genuinely interesting. Autoland draws from multiple data streams simultaneously. It is reading Global Positioning System, or GPS. Position against the navigation database. It is calculating fuel state and fuel burn rate. It is reading terrain awareness data, it is evaluating weather, and it is cross-referencing all of that against every airport within range that has an instrument approach. The airport selection logic has to weigh runway length against the fuel available to reach it. It has to evaluate the weather at each candidate airport against the approach the system can fly. It has to account for terrain along the routing. It has to find the airport where the full automated sequence has the highest probability of a successful outcome. That entire calculation happens in seconds. Once the destination is selected, the aircraft displays it clearly on the primary flight display. The passenger can see where the airplane is going. The system provides continuous advisory messaging describing the sequence in plain language, and critically, an override exists. If a controller or a pilot on the ground can reach the passenger and coach them through selecting a different destination, the system accepts that input. The machine has authority, but not absolute authority. That is a deliberate human factors decision, and we will come back to it. The navigation itself runs through the Garmin G3000 NXI integrated avionics suite, paired with the GFC700 autopilot system. For the approach, Autoland flies what is called an Area Navigation Approach, or RNAV, with vertical guidance, using the Wide Area Augmentation System for GPS precision. Pilots know this as an LPV approach, which stands for Localizer Performance with Vertical Guidance. In good equipment conditions, an LPV approach delivers approach minimums comparable to a Category 1 instrument landing system, or ILS, precise glide path, precise lateral tracking. No ground-based equipment required at the destination airport beyond the GPS approach being in the database. Here is something that often gets glossed over. Autoland does not just navigate to an airport and fly a procedure. It manages the entire energy state of the aircraft from the moment it activates. That means auto-throttle throughout the descent, adjusting power to maintain the correct airspeed profile. That means configuring the aircraft for landing, geared down, flaps to landing configuration, all automated on the correct schedule. That means wind correction during the approach. That means the flare at touchdown, which any experienced pilot will tell you is one of the more judgment-dependent moments in flying. And after the wheels are on the runway, it applies brakes, brings the aircraft to a full stop, and shuts down the engine. Think about the integration required for that sequence to work reliably. Auto throttle, autopilot, navigation gear and flap logic, braking, engine shutdown. None of those individual components were invented for Autoland. What Autoland represents is the logic layer that ties them together into a coherent, certified emergency response. Let us talk about the certification path, because getting the FAA to certify a system that can fly and land a general aviation aircraft with no qualified pilot in the loop required building a framework that did not previously exist. Part 23 of the Federal Aviation Regulations governs light aircraft certification. There was no provision in Part 23 for autonomous or semi-autonomous emergency landing capability. There was no precedent, no checklist of requirements, no prior approval to reference. Garmin worked with the FAA over several years to define how this capability would be evaluated. The testing was extensive. Thousands of simulated approach sequences, hundreds of flight test hours across a range of conditions, edge cases that most line pilots never encounter, sensor anomalies mid-sequence, unusual atmospheric conditions, airports with challenging obstacle environments. The system had to demonstrate that it could complete the sequence under stress and that it could fail gracefully when it encountered problems. Not catastrophically, but gracefully, with degraded capability communicated clearly. The certification in November of 2020 was not just a milestone for Garmin or for Piper. It established that the FAA could build a framework for certifying this class of capability in general aviation. That matters for everything that follows. The Piper M600 SLS was the first platform. The SLS designation refers to the safety life system suite that centers on the Autoland capability. The M600 is a pressurized single-engine turboprop powered by a Pratt & Whitney Canada turboprop making roughly 600 shaft horsepower, with a maximum cruise around 274 knots and a certified ceiling at 30,000 feet. It is a capable aircraft used for serious cross-country work, often by single pilots who may be flying solo or with passengers who have no training whatsoever. It is exactly the kind of aircraft where the incapacitation scenario is plausible. The second platform is the Cirrus Vision Jet G2 Plus. The Vision Jet is itself a notable aircraft, the first personal jet certified for single pilot operation. Adding Autoland to the Vision Jet layers it on top of an existing safety architecture that already includes the Cirrus airframe parachute system. That combination, a whole aircraft parachute and an automated landing system, represents a depth of passive safety that no other manufacturer has matched in general aviation. Now, let's be honest about what Autoland cannot do, because the limitations are as important as the capability. First, it requires electrical power and functioning avionics. A total electrical failure removes the option entirely. Second, the airport selection depends on what is actually available within range. In remote terrain, over oceanic routes, or in parts of the world with sparse instrument approach coverage, the system may not find a suitable airport it can reach. The avionics will tell you that. It is a critical advisory, and it was built in deliberately. The system does not pretend to have an answer when it does not. Third, the approach type matters. Autoland flies RNAV approaches with vertical guidance. If an airport does not have that approach in the database, the system cannot use that airport as a destination. There are airports in the United States that lack this coverage, and far more internationally. Fourth, the system can fly to minimums. It cannot fly below them. If the weather at every candidate airport is below the approach minimums, the outcome is not guaranteed. Fifth, and this one does not get enough attention, Autoland is a deeply integrated certified system. It is not an aftermarket option. It is not something you add to an existing aircraft. It was certified as part of the specific aircraft type design. You cannot install it in a Cirrus SR-22 or a Beechcraft Bonanza. The integration requirements go all the way to the airframe level. These are not arguments against the technology. They are honest statements of scope. Every engineering solution has a domain. Autoland's domain is significant, and within that domain it works. But understanding the edges of the envelope is fundamental to using any system intelligently. There is a human factors dimension to this that deserves its own discussion. When Garmin designed the passenger activation experience, they were solving a problem that aviation had never had to solve before. How do you design an emergency control that a person with zero aviation training, under acute stress, in an unfamiliar cockpit can find, understand, and trust? The physical activation control is deliberately prominent and clearly marked. But recognition is only part of the challenge. Trust is the harder problem. Researchers who study human-automation interaction talk about something called calibration. If a person believes a system is more capable than it actually is, they will trust it past its limits. If they believe it is less capable, they will not use it when they should. For Autoland, the calibration challenge is extraordinary because the primary emergency user has no prior experience with the system, no training, and possibly no context for what automated flight systems even do. Garmin's response to this was simplicity. The system narrates, it tells the passenger what it is doing on the primary display, it updates them as the sequence progresses, it announces when it has identified a destination, when it is beginning the approach, when it is on final. The information is there even if the passenger cannot process it technically. The message the system keeps delivering is consistent. The airplane is handling this. And when ATC calls, because they will call when that 7700 squawk appears on radar, the system includes automated audio response capability. So controllers receive acknowledgement that Autoland is active and operating. The passenger does not have to know how to talk to a controller. The avionics handle the initial exchange. This is invisible engineering. Nobody writes magazine cover stories about the UX design of an emergency activation sequence. But it is some of the more consequential work in the entire project. The data tells an interesting story about where this goes from here. The same core technology, auto throttle, precision GPS navigation, automated approach, and landing capability, is being positioned not just for emergencies, but for broader autonomous and reduced crew flight operations. The regional air mobility sector, the companies pursuing cargo and eventually passenger flights in smaller aircraft with reduced or no pilot in the loop, points back to Autoland as evidence that the FAA will engage seriously with this class of capability and that certification frameworks can be built. The Piper M600 SLS certification was not just a product launch. It was a proof of concept for a regulatory pathway. And regulatory pathways, once established, are how entire categories of capability scale. Before I sign off, I want to say one more thing. Some pilots hear about Autoland and feel something complicated. A question about what it means to hand control of an aircraft to a machine. About pilot authority, about skill and judgment and what we actually do when we fly. I understand that reaction, but Autoland is not replacing the pilot. It is covering a gap that has always existed, and that pilot training has never been able to close. The gap that opens when the pilot can no longer fly. That gap existed before this technology. It just had no answer. Now it has one. For the person sitting in the right seat of an M600 when the pilot goes quiet, the question is not philosophical sources. For this segment, include Garmin's published technical documentation on the Autoland system, FAA certification records for the Piper M600 SLS, reporting from Aviation Week and Space Technology, and coverage in General Aviation News on the initial certification event. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. See you next time.